This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. It's 7:33. Educators from across the country are meeting over the next 2 weeks for the National Education Association's 152nd annual meeting. West Virginia Education Association President Dale Lee will be one of the educators at the meeting, discussing issues such as Common Core standards and standardized testing. Glennis Board has this report.
Improving education is going to take more investment to effectively implement, and it will take time to see the fruits of those labors. Those are two major thoughts that the state's Education Association President Dale Lee offered when reflecting on the state of public education in West Virginia.
I think we're moving in the right direction. Our graduation rate is on the rise, which is a positive for West Virginia. West Virginia now has more than 750 nationally board certified teachers. So teachers are getting more and more training. It now becomes a role of us getting teachers, quality teachers in the state and keeping them in the state. And to do that, we're going to have to pay them competitive salaries.
Lee says on that front, a statewide competitive salary campaign has the support of 52 of the 55 county boards of education. There's been mounting concern throughout the state as well as the country over the efficacy of standardized testing. Lee reports that teachers are increasingly frustrated with test-driven curriculum.
You know, we're just testing kids to death, and teachers need the time to teach. If you ask teachers to get students prepared to a certain level and give them the time and the resources to do that, they will not only get them there, but they will get them even farther. But to have everything based on a single test score is just the wrong way for an education system. We need to broaden our curriculum and not teach every kid like they're going to go to college and be an engineer. We have to design our curriculum so that it reaches every student.
Another topic of discussion at the National Education Association's meeting will be the Common Core standards, a newer wave of education benchmarks for English and language arts and math adopted by 43 states and the District of Columbia, four territories, and the Defense Department. The National Governors Association led the effort to create the standards in an effort to provide a clear, consistent understanding of what students are expected to learn. The standards aim to align schools in preparing students with the knowledge and skills required for successful entry into college and careers. West Virginia has already begun implementing the standards.
As I've traveled around the state, one of the complaints that I've heard is that we haven't done a good job of giving the proper training to implement the Common Core, or the time and resources to do it and do it correctly. For example, there are many times that you have to do a lot of outside activities to prepare the lesson. You have to do some project-based learning and those types of things. And we haven't built additional time for teachers or additional resources for the materials to do that. So if we're serious about Common Core, we need to look at all that, those aspects of it, and provide the resources and the time and the teacher's day to do that.
Lee says next year, testing will begin to evaluate how well students are learning the new standards, but he stresses that test scores won't be a reliable reflection of student achievement until they're taken by kids who have had several years of experience with the new standards. He says reliable data could take 4 to 8 years to see. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glennis Board in Morgantown.
Almost every year since 1936, a select group of high school boys have attended the Mountaineer Boys State. And since 1941, girls have attended Rhododendron Girls State. The week-long camp, sponsored by the American Legion, focus on citizenship, leadership, and patriotism. This year, Boys State focused on the nonpartisan statewide initiative, What's Next, West Virginia? And as Liz McCormick reports, the young men at Boys State had a great deal to add to a conversation about positive change during a 45-minute discussion in Charleston.
Topics included West Virginia's greatest strengths, its greatest challenges, the opportunities it offers to develop a more prosperous state, what the boys would like to see in West Virginia 20 years from now, and what they see as their role in helping West Virginia thrive.
I think the youth is our greatest strength. Because anywhere you go in West Virginia, you always see, I feel as if I always see kids trying to take initiative with helping the future, like Boys State.
I think our environment our state's natural beauty really makes us unique. Our rolling green hills and everything really makes our tourist industry strong.
I really feel that West Virginia's greatest asset lies with the people. Our state has had a history of adversity and overcoming it, and I think the responsibility for that has or can be attributed to the people of our state.
Many boys believed West Virginia's greatest challenge was keeping its youth in the state, noting the lack of jobs for college graduates as the biggest obstacle.
I know for me, somebody who doesn't really plan on going into the natural gas industry or any energy industries, at least where I'm from, there really isn't much for me, which is honestly really depressing because I love Wheeling. I love where I come from, but there's just no jobs there. There's just nowhere for me to go after college other than somewhere else.
Most of our highly qualified, intelligent people are leaving the state and going to other states and other cities to work. What I feel we need to work on is we need to keep these intelligent people in the state, improving the state for us.
The students said tourism could be West Virginia's greatest ally in building a more prosperous state. But to do this, they felt the state would need to work on refurbishing areas that are falling apart.
You go to some of the larger cities in our state, and you see winding roads, you see dilapidated buildings. We need to focus on urban planning because businesses that want to locate in cities don't want to locate in cities that their employees won't move to. Essentially, we need to focus on beautification of our cities. We need to focus on making it more applicable to the modern industry.
Instead of refurbishing them and making the town look better, they're building new buildings on the outskirts of town. So I think a lot of the things we need to focus on is restoration. Instead of keep building more stuff, and while we have buildings that can be still used.
Another big challenge the boys noted was West Virginia's image.
West Virginia also has a stereotype of being like hillbillies or lower class that necessarily isn't true. It gives us a bad name, which makes people not want to come here.
Not only does West Virginia have that stereotype, there's also those people who either don't realize or don't remember the fact that we're a state. You say, where are you from? West Virginia. Oh, is that Richmond?
If we, you know, put off as a youth, as a whole, as a state, a new persona stating that West Virginia is, you know, the wild and wonderful state that it is, then I think that will also help, you know, people come to West Virginia.
Improving infrastructure, education, and building human capital were also specific suggestions.
What I'd like to think is our greatest opportunity lies is where we're weakest. We're weak and our buildings are falling apart. We're not using our buildings. Our education is low. This means that we can use our education that is low. We can bring teachers in that are renowned teachers, that know what they're talking about, are very respected. Bring those in, you'll be able to bring up a generation that is very respectable. This is where we have opportunity.
I personally believe the most critical one right now is education, because that is our future. We are our future. Each consecutive generation are going to be those who help the state. And if they're uneducated, then what hands have we put our state in?
20 years from now, these young men want to see an even greener West Virginia.
The biggest thing I'd like to see in 20 years is an expansion of renewable energy like solar panels, wind power, and hydroelectric power, because we're currently focusing on only temporary fixes for energy like coal. It's just not going to be around forever. We can't expect to depend fully on that. The world is going to have to transition over to green energy eventually. That's hundreds of years down the road, but to be in the leading forefront of everybody to be switching to green energy would be wonderful.
Several said the role they play begins today, that they have a responsibility to make the people around them see West Virginia as they do.
Be active in the community, take school seriously, work hard the way we like to. I think that's our role, and I think in 20 years, if we take on that role in 20 years, I think the statistics will change. I think West Virginia will really be seen for what it really is.
I think it's the role of our generation and us in this room, the men of tomorrow, the leaders of tomorrow, to be the pioneers for the future and the engineers of change. Because we are going to be in these public positions. We are going to be in charge of what changes we want to see. We have to be that change in our state that we want to see in the future.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
And for more about what's next West Virginia, visit our website, wvpublic.org. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:43. Partly sunny skies today, but with a chance of rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. Temperatures in the 70s and 80s to near 90 degrees today. A chance of rain and thunderstorms overnight with lows in the 60s to near 70 degrees. Mostly cloudy with rain and thunderstorms continuing tomorrow. Temperatures on Tuesday in the 70s and 80s.
Support provided by Bowles Rice, a local full-service law firm representing businesses and individuals in our region since 1920. And support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
A West Virginia University researcher has made an important new discovery on the other side of the world, Beneduccio reports.
It's called the Tandanus tropicanus. It's a fish, a very interesting type of catfish, discovered in a northeastern part of Australia that's largely been ignored by aquatic life researchers. WVU professor Stuart Welsh made the discovery on an expedition in that part of the world back in 2010 and again in 2012. And yes, you can call it a fishing expedition.
I think it's a very interesting experience to describe a new species, and it's a very rewarding experience. You know, biodiversity is one thing that a lot of people are interested in. How many, you know, animals are out there, and what do they do, and where are they located, and that's really important. And so when you find a new species, it makes you realize that there's a lot of things going on out there in the world that we're, you know, not necessarily aware of. A lot of people think that, you know, we have a good idea of what's going on in terms of the number of animals that are out there on the landscape, but that's not always true. There's quite a few left to be found and to be named.
The Tandanus tropicanus is a freshwater eel-tailed catfish with some interesting characteristics when you compare it to a West Virginia channel catfish. It can grow up to about 20 inches or so, which is a bit smaller than a West Virginia channel cat. But its physical appearance is also different.
The back end of this catfish is quite different than, say, a channel catfish here in West Virginia, in that the dorsal fin, the tail fin, which is called the caudal fin, and then the fin that's ventrally located, which is called the anal fin. The dorsal fin, the caudal fin, and the anal fin are all connected as one fin on this catfish in Australia, which gives it the name of eel-tailed catfish. And so it's quite different than any catfish that we have here. Well, most fins on fishes are a function for either swimming or maintaining some sort of stability in the water column when they're swimming. Of course, the caudal fin is the fin on the back end of the fish, which is important in propelling the fish forward. The dorsal fin is on the back or the top of the fish, and it maintains some stability.
That means this Australian catfish can swim faster in the water. This fish was discovered in the Tully River, and that's located in the northeastern part of Australia, not too far from the Great Barrier Reef. Welsh says it's very rare to find a freshwater fish that hasn't been discovered, but he expects that area of the world might yield even more findings.
You know, one of the really fun things about science is the discovery of new things, and there are scientists out there discovering new things every day, and it's important for scientists to get out and find these things and learn about the world. And what's amazing is that there just seems to be, you know, people have been studying rivers and the oceans for a long time now, but we continue to find new things as we look. So it's really fascinating.
When he was a young boy growing up in Beckley, Welsh went fishing any chance he got. He says that's what started his love for fish, and it still inspires him.
I spent a lot of time in creeks and flipping rocks looking for a crayfish, and that interest just continued and turned into an occupation for me.
The newly discovered fish is now being studied in a museum. Welsh says he plans to go back to Australia very soon. And he says there are possibly more fish out there still to be discovered. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Beneduccio in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Bob Powell. I'm Beth Voorhees.